This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show.
Well, hi, everybody. Glad that we can be with you. And we are twice as glad today because we have a guest with us.
Yay!
It's Susan May Warren. Say hi, Susan.
Hey, guys.
See, everybody believes me now. She is an author of lots and lots of books, fiction and nonfiction. And Karen has known her for quite a while. So I'm going to let Karen do the intro here.
Susan May Warren is the Rita Award-winning novelist of over 30 novels. This is a very busy woman. She's a 5-time Christie Award finalist, a 2-time Rita finalist. She's also a multi-winner of the Inspirational Reader's Choice Award, and she has won the ACFW Carol Award.
Yay.
No surprise, because she's so talented in what she writes. She also is a seasoned women's event speaker. She's a popular writing teacher. She's the founder of My Book Therapy, which you can find at www.mybooktherapy.com. And that's a story crafting service that helps authors discover their voice. You can also find her online at www.susanmaywarren.com. So there's all the official bio stuff. But let's talk about the fact that Susie is one of the people that I have known the longest. We have been in this industry for a long time. And the thing is, we have great fun together. She's one of the only other extroverts in Christian publishing. It's so fun to meet somebody who understands what it is to be a writer and an extrovert. So, Susie, welcome, welcome. We can't wait to talk with you about your experience in the deep, in the wastelands, both figuratively and literally, when God took you and your family to Russia.
Yes. Well, I'm super glad to be here. Thanks for having me, you guys. It's great to be here. And yes, Karen, it is nice to have another extrovert in the industry. So yeah, so that was a great intro. I was a little worried because Karen knows a lot about me. We extroverts tend to stick together. And so
yes, because she knows a lot about me. So I'm not going to say word one.
That's right. It's all good. So, but no, it's great to be here with you guys today. I'd love to talk about my experiences in all these different dark places and how they've affected my writing life.
Okay, so let's be clear. It's not just Russia, it's Siberia. Am I correct on that?
Yes, actually we lived in Far East Russia, but they did call it Siberia. It's pretty much everything east of the Ural Mountains there. So, and it was often, 40 below where we lived. And we actually lived in a town called Khabarovsk, which was right on the I can't think of the river right now, but we were right across from the Chinese border. So we could actually see China from our apartment.
Wow.
That's an experience not many people have had.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very unique and a very rich and challenging time that gave me lots of fodder for great novels, actually.
So let's talk about the challenges of those times. Talk about where you were emotionally in your relationship before God took you guys to Russia.
So we got called to Russia. I was called to be a missionary way back in when I was a kid. And so my husband and I always knew we were going to do that. So the Lord laid on our hearts the opportunity to go to Russia. And when we went over there, we had 2 little kids and I was pregnant with our third. Mm-hmm. And I had great hopes and dreams for being a missionary in Russia. What ended up happening was my husband was a great missionary and I was a great stay-at-home mom where I took care of the kids. And it was a bit of a rude awakening for me because it took a lot of energy to live in Russia. And so, from the shopping and we lived in a high-rise apartment, 9 stories up. We had no running water during the daytime. We had no phone. We often didn't have electricity. So, and to go shopping, I would have to put my kids you know, literally on my body. I had a front pack and a backpack and, you know, a sled, and I was literally a sled, and I would walk around. I put my groceries in the sled because, again, we were in Siberia, you know, so it took a lot of physical energy for me to be there. And you can imagine I got very depressed very quickly because I wasn't, you know, sowing seeds for the Lord. I was, you know, taking care of my kids and washing cloth diapers in the bathtub. So that was not fun. And it was in that dark place that God really started speaking to my heart and saying, why are you here? Are you here for me? Are you here for glory, you know, for your own personal glory? And I had to get to that place where I was all stripped away, where I would say, okay, God, what do you want from me? You know, is it to stay home and be a great mom? And of course that was part of it. Part of it was supporting my husband, but that was also where God said to me, I would like you to write. I want you to write stories. And at first he said, I want you to write. And I spent a lot of time in the evenings. My husband was planting a church, and he was gone a lot in the evenings. So I put the kids to bed. And even after we had our third child, you know, I put them to bed, and then I wouldn't have a lot to do. It's not like I watch TV in Russia or anything. So, and I, you know, I'd read my Bible, and then I'd be like, well, what do I do? And that's when God said, well, why don't you write? So I started writing articles, but soon I realized that's silly. How am I supposed to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to that day, you know, to America, right?
To Babushka today.
That's right. It was just right. It was crazy. So I finally again got on my knees, and God said, no, I want you to write novels. And I said, I don't know how to write a novel. And I had been an English major in University of Minnesota, but it was never something I really, but I had written a book way back when I was 14 years old. So I did like to write, and I loved writing stories. So I literally would take books off my shelf and open up the stories and say, Lord, teach me. And I would read a book, and it was, you know, all sorts of secular or fiction or, you know, or Christian, whatever. And I would just start highlighting, and I would start to learn, and I would break books apart and learn them. And finally I got to the place where I thought, well, I'll try to write a novel. And I found that, you know, my first novel I wrote when I, out of an experience I had in America, but I soon discovered that all great novels are written from that emotional place inside that you might not have all the answers to. You might have, you know, be struggling with lies or whatever, but as you start to write the novel and as you start to work out those emotions and those truths on the page, the Lord starts to reveal stuff to you. And so that's when I really started my journey of from the darkness, from the deep, to understand what God was doing in my life. And he did that through the novels that I began to write.
So it wasn't that you had all the answers already figured out. It's that in the course of writing, God was revealing. He was peeling back the layers of the darkness and showing you what he was doing.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think if we come to a novel with all the answers, then we limit God's revelation of truth in our lives as we write the novel. So I'm what you call a plotter. And I know, Karen, you're a pantser. I don't know
what
you are.
That's right. She's very definitely a plotter. She's in your
okay. Yes, plotters unite. So I love to sit down and plot a new novel out ahead of time. But here's what I don't plot. I don't plot the spiritual revelation or the spiritual journey. I might have some idea of what is going to happen with my character based on the lie he believes as we start the story. But I go to the word, and I really love writing a novel because it's during that time I'm so, you know, I'm in the word every day, but now I'm like searching for those nuggets of truth and that revelation that I'm going to put on the page that's going to make the novel come alive spiritually to me and to the reader and to my character, because God is interactive in that whole process. And so I pants out, so to speak, the spiritual journey, because I go into the story with a question, you know, where is God when this happens? Or one of the stories I recently wrote was about what happens when you love someone who's in a dangerous profession. How do we deal with that on a daily basis? And where is God in that whole process? And so my son is in the Navy. And so, you know, that became very real to me as I started to interact with him going through all his training. And God started to speak to me. So again, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be in Russia to be in a dark place. You might be in a dark place today with, again, my, you know, I was like, oh, how are we going to handle this, God, with all the fears I have of his future? Yeah. God said, well, let's just take it one day at a time. Why don't you write a novel? You'll find out.
I love the fact that you work with your novels in a very similar way to how God has worked with you in your life, because when you guys went to Russia, you were in kind of a wasteland, in a deep place in your relationship with your husband. And so God had to use this place where you didn't have anybody else that you could rely on to show you that you could rely on your husband. And so he's taken these difficult places, and he also doesn't plot out. He kind of goes for you. He pantses out the spiritual arc because you went with one expectation. But what he gave you there was so much beyond anything you'd anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. I write romance mostly.
Right.
And it's hard to write romance if you haven't lived a romance, right? Mm-hmm. So I wrote, you know, obviously I fell in love with my husband. We got married. We moved to Russia. We were about 4 years into our marriage when we moved there. And immediately everything changed for us because I was very alone. We had gotten very busy with our lives prior to going to Russia, which is very mm-hmm. common for missionaries. They spend so much time trying to get there that they kind of lose why they're going. So you get there and I felt very abandoned, very alone, very overwhelmed. And I went to God and I said, help me, you know, rescue me, fix this. And I would be lying if I didn't say that there were times where I, you know, thought about, well, what if I just took the kids and got on an airplane, mm-hmm. went back to America, you know, I'll just live there while my husband does his thing, because it seemed like that's what the way our lives were working out. But God did hear my cry, and he said, you know, I'm going to teach you what a great romance and a great marriage is about. And he taught me a number of things. One was my husband and I became companions again, because we could only rely on each other.
Right.
Well, we relied on God, but we, you know, we were two English speakers in a sea of Russian speakers, you know. Who was we going to talk to, you know? So he taught me that. He taught me how to honor and respect my husband as our provider and our protector, my protector, which I desperately needed while I was over there.
You have to tell the story about him carrying the washing machine.
Yes.
See, that's a great story. And I put it in a book, right? Yes. And I was doing all of our cloth diapers by hand in the bathtub. And my husband was concerned for that. And because you can get fungi and all sorts of stuff when you're doing that, and it was bad. And one day, we've been there about 6 months, he came home with literally a washing machine strapped on his back. It wasn't huge. It wasn't like, you know, one of the huge Maytags we see today. It was pretty small, but he had carried it home about a mile from the store for me. And that kind of romance doesn't mm-hmm. happen unless, you know, when would that happen in America, right? So, you know, it gave me a great picture of the fact he loved me enough to do that. God loves us enough to do extraordinary things in our lives. He sees us when we don't think we're seen. And that's what Andrew did for me. And so again, great material to put in a novel. So all of those romantic pieces helped me understand, well, what are we looking for when we're looking? When I write a romance, it's not really about the romance between the two people. It is, but it's also about the romance, since I write inspirational, about the romance between God and his people, because it's mm-hmm. just a mirror of that romance that God has for us. And so my novels always have that layer of lie and truth, and where my characters have a lie and God then, you know, gives them that truth, but he also loves them in a unique way through the context of the story and through the context of the relationships. And so that's sort of what I learned in Russia, was that God was very interested in my whole person. And, you know, he was interested in our physical lives, but he was also interested in our spiritual lives, and pulling out those truths, understanding them then helped me put them on the page later.
It sounds too like you probably had some struggles in terms of danger. I can't believe that, you know, there was nothing. I mean, you're worried about your son now, and that's understandable. But what about in Russia, you know, with your husband going off all the time? I'm sure there were worries.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had crazy things happen to us in Russia. Karen actually knows one of our crazy stories. But we were vandalized numerous times. We had break-ins. My husband's shoulder was broken because he was mugged. I was held hostage once for about a day. We had a home invasion. My children had, David had his appendix out in a hospital filled with, you know, cats.
Yeah, nothing serious. Wow. Just things that happen to us every
day. Just stuff happens.
Your 12-year-old holding a knife between you and the people who'd invaded your home.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Little
okay,
stuff.
You got to tell that story.
Oh, well, that's actually a great story. The short of it is that we had a home invasion in the middle of the day, it was in March, about 12 or 13 years ago, maybe more. And what happened was that my children were home and my husband was gone, and my children, my oldest son, thought he was going to fend off one of the attackers. And so he took a knife out of the kitchen knife block and held it out there. And of course the attacker had a knife too. And thankfully my son was smart enough to go put the knife back and run away. We were pretty sure we were going to get killed that day, and God intervened. And basically the short of it is, as I was praying, I was in a chair and they were stealing everything, and it was getting kind of scary. I felt as if two hands came over my shoulders and held me, and I had peace that went through my body. My fear was absolutely gone. I was able to speak perfect Russian. And in that moment, I knew that God was with us. He was literally in my presence. And in that moment, I suddenly, I just kept praying. Suddenly the robbers looked up as if they were afraid, and they ran from our apartment as fast as they could. So I like to think that there were probably angels, mighty angels with swords that they saw, but they definitely were afraid and they fled. So God literally saved us. And thankfully, so I came home from Russia, shortly after that. We were called home, and it became a thing that I could use in a book. So what happened was I was writing a book called Tying the Knot. So if you're interested in hearing more about that invasion, I write about it in the book Tying the Knot, but it's about a woman who gets attacked. And through writing that story, God healed me of all of the residue of that attack. So you come home and you know, I was very fearful of things. I would jump when people approached me. I was very, I had some injuries, different things like that. And God just met me, and I would be writing the book and I would see the words appear on the screen, and I would know that they were words for me from the Lord, that he was telling me truth and healing me page by page. So that was a very powerful book for me. I've had people write to me and tell me how powerful that book is for them as well. So wow. Clearly God meant it for their good too, which is fantastic. But I am a firm believer that when we put our dreams in the Lord's hands, like we're singers or artists or writers or athletes or whatever, he speaks to us through that medium, through our dreams, through our passions, and he draws us to himself if we're willing to listen to him. And that's why I love writing, is because I show up and God shows up, and it's this amazing communion of time together that I think my readers can benefit from, but mostly I just love, because it's me and the Lord working together, which is awesome. So, yeah.
Wow. So. One of the things that I love about knowing you and seeing how you are in your relationship with God is that when the rug gets pulled out from under you, you feel the same insecurities, the same fears. And yet, because of the experience you've had with God, I see over and over how you sit back and you say, okay, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And so you look to him to understand what's happening. Over and over, I see writers nowadays who have had great careers. You know, people will look at you from the outside, other writers, and say, well, you know, of course you can trust God. She's in this great place. But I know that you've had issues and struggles even within the last year when wondering what God is doing. So what has kept you in there? What has kept you in there in the deep when it's easy to look back and feel like, you know, is everything that I've done been wasted? Right. Is nobody even taking into account the past? And then God shows you what his plans are.
Yeah, we've gone through a huge change in our lives in the last couple of years. We moved away from the home that we lived in for about 12 years. We changed jobs. We sent away all of our kids. You know, we're empty nesters now. I changed publishers, which was a big deal. Started a little bit of an indie thing too. You know, just huge changes. I think for me, it's the everyday of, you know, in Psalms it says, who do I have in heaven but you, O Lord? You know,
yes.
If I don't have God, then none of this matters. So for me, it's staying in that pocket. I actually just wrote a letter to my son today. I write to him every day, and I take nuggets out of the Bible and I put it in my letter to him, and hopefully he will be blessed by that. But what I wrote to him today was, I said, the renewing of your mind has to happen every single day. Mm-hmm. It's like a meal. You wouldn't go 4 or 5 days without eating, because you would waste away. It's the same with your relationship with God and my relationship. If I'm not renewing my mind, if I'm not surrounding myself with the Lord every day, then I'm starving. And yes. I don't, and I'm scared and I'm weak mm-hmm. and I'm fragile and the world is, can easily attack me. But if I'm nourished in that place, then what can man do to me? I can, because I have that perfect peace. But you have to, you have to renew your mind, because right. what happens is if you walk away, it's so easy to go, oh, wait, what am I doing out here? And, and life is unfair. And, you know, you know, and I found that to be true in my own life. And so I can even, you know, it's like I have rickets or something. If I don't, you know, if I'm not in the word, I'm like, oh, I feel frail today. Let's under a blanket and eat popcorn, you know, whatever. So, so for me, that's just, it's just knowing myself, knowing how weak I am without the Lord and how much I need that time.
Yeah, that, for me, I think it's also, it's also knowing the Lord and trusting that he is who he says he is. I think we forget oftentimes about the fact that God is who he says he is and that we can rely on him and his character. And we also forget about in those dark places when we're saying things like, you know, is God even hearing my prayers? And I'm having a hard time believing God is good. When I start inching into those places, it's like there's this check inside of me that says, where is your fear of Almighty God? Mm. You know, who are you to doubt God? Who is the clay to doubt the potter? Not that he's not big enough to handle our doubts and our questions, but we need to remember who he is and who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the biggest key, is that when, and that helps me when I'm starting to write a book. You know, I start a book, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I approach the page with the empty page and I sort of have a small panic attack. Like, who said I could do this? This, have they not caught on to me yet? I don't know. It's just, you know, oh, and then especially when I'm in the middle, I'm in the weeds and I'm like, does this have any spiritual content whatsoever? Is this, are these people just plastic characters? I'm moving around the page, you know, it's just, and that's when I hear God say, stay with me. Mm-hmm. Stay with me right now. Just walk the journey with me. Let me work this out scene by scene, sentence by sentence. And not only that, but who am I? Who am I in your life? Am I the source or am I just an add-on? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm the source, we're going to do this together. If I'm an add-on, then have at it, baby. You know, and that always makes me remember too, that I can't do this alone, that he's the source of all of this. And that gives me great courage as I start to write, because I remember I'm not in this by myself. Right. And if he's there, then, well, frankly, Christian authors should have the very best books on the whole planet. Because
amen, sister.
Yeah. Okay, so Susan, I feel like we could talk to you and your stories for hours. But our time is, you know, coming to an end here. So do you have... What is your final word of encouragement? What's the one thing you hope that you would get through to our listeners today?
Well, if you're a writer, you're on a journey, and the journey is the point. And I always say, if you haven't been changed by God through the process, then you've missed the point. It's not about the published books. I mean, I'm actually up to 50 now, and it's not about the titles. It's about what God has taught me in every single book and my relationship with him. And he's just using this writing bit to draw you closer to him. So it's not fruitless. And if you don't ever get published, it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because I know that it matters to you, but the point, that's not the point. Right. The point is for you to engage with your God in a way that speaks to you, in a way that is your love language, and writing is your love language. So pursue that with passion and excitement, because God has something for you, regardless of what the titles in the publishing world is doing. God always has something for us when we seek him and we put our dreams in his hands. So that's
amen.
It.
Amen. Susan May Warren, thank you so much. Again, in case you didn't hear us at the beginning, you can find her at www.susanmaywarren.com. She's also the founder of My Book Therapy, which is a story crafting service, at www.mybooktherapy.com. Susan, thank you. You have been a great blessing. May God continue to use you.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's great to be here with you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.